Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your super, super busy HR schedule. As I know, there are a lot of things you're looking to do to help reduce the stress and anxiety and emotions and all the other things that are really bubbling up from your workforce. But today we're going to talk about how HR is leading their workforce through uncertainty. And before we get started, it would be awesome if you could provide us some background information regarding your name, your company, your title, and where you're located.
Sure. I'm Melina Murray. I am the head of HR for Influx Data. We're a time series database company. Our headquarters will be in San Francisco. We also have a satellite office in Austin. And then the majority of our workforce is spread out between multiple states in the US, Canada, and countries in Europe and UK.
So as I was mentioning before we started this interview, we were talking about a lot of HR leaders going through a lot right now. And one of the things that I've noticed is that while HR is taking care of the workforce, there are very few people that are trying to take care of HR. So I would love to start this off with asking you, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I think loving what I do and really valuing what I can contribute makes it easier. It's also the small wins that help when you see that you're helping people, or you see when things are running smoothly, or you see areas that you can improve. So I'm doing okay. And I'm making sure to take my downtime to make sure that I'm taking care of myself also. So thank you. I'm working through it like everybody else.
Great. It's awesome to hear that self-care is part of your routine, because you know a lot of people need to add that back in as they're trying to put out a lot of fires. So as one of my previous guests put it, she said that over time, their organization moved from a state of crisis mode to a place of heightened awareness. So I think it would be interesting, and with today being June 9th, you know, it's important to have a timestamp. It would be interesting to understand where are you on that spectrum in regards to the status of your workforce?
Yeah, I think I would say awareness for sure. I will say that we're lucky in that our transition in the COVID crisis was a bit easier from a work standpoint, because we did have half the company, well, over half the company already working remotely. So our culture, the shift to working remotely was not a huge shock to our environment, our culture, and our way of doing business. So we had the benefit of that. From the crisis mode, it was making sure that people were okay when people started getting sick, giving them the resources and tools, et cetera, to make sure that they were getting the help they needed. But I think it's fair to say that awareness came in pretty quickly, because we knew that there would be an impact on people. People have different home setups, whether it's five different roommates or children at home. We knew that there would be an impact on people from a mental standpoint. So what we've tried to do since at least, I mean, it was pretty early in, is to make sure that we were having conversations, make sure that we were reaching out, making sure that the door was open, and making sure that everybody from our executive team through the entire employee population understood that we all understood there would be hits to productivity, that this new way of working, we're all adjusting to it. We all have different responsibilities, and just talk to us and we'll work through it, that you're not going to get in trouble. Your job isn't on the line if you have to take care of your family or somebody who's sick or something comes up. So from that side, an awareness of what people are going through mentally. And then the other side was, immediately, do people have the tools that they need to be effective at home? We don't assume that everybody has the setup that they need. So that was a big part of it. And then the other part was, what do you do with an office? And I think companies are still going through this, but what do you do when you have people who want to be in an office, but what do you do with all the stuff that you have in an office? And I also run operations. So there was a consideration, what do you do with the mail? What do you do with all the bits and pieces? Do you put somebody at risk? Do you ask them to go in and get stuff? There were so many moving parts. So trying to think through and be aware of every possible impact, which of course we can't, every possible impact, but we tried to come up with a really comprehensive, okay, this is the umbrella under which everything falls. How do we address each piece? And some were quick and some took longer. The office topic we just resolved at the end of last week in terms of, are we going back or are we not going back this year?
Got it. And I appreciate that really comprehensive response. So I have a couple questions about some of the things you said. Mm-hmm. First was that you said pre-COVID, roughly half of your staff was already remote. So I'm curious, were the remote employees able to help and provide best practices and tips and advice to those who were not working remote previously? Or because the people who are now working remote were working remote by force versus choice, it really didn't resonate the experience? Because I'm assuming the people who already work from home, their routine was from a place of, I want to be here. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I want to think that it was helpful. But one of the other things we picked up, we had done about a year ago, I had put together with one of our senior engineers who in our company is considered the master of working from home. We put together a working remotely best practices. And I pulled that back out right as all this was happening, as we were getting information to people, and we edited it and brought it to the surface because it was, and then we asked people to input, give feedback on what works for them, what doesn't. We had another person who's been working from home for years also share some best practices. So there was absolutely a sharing of what works for people. I think a lot of the customs that we have in the company, for example, we have our daily stand-up for the entire company at 9:30 Pacific every morning. We had structure in place already to contribute to making people feel connected and getting them information. So in that way, we already had a way to make sure that information was disseminated and communication flowed in a way that people knew what was going on, felt connected, knew who to go to. The part that is more challenging is when you're working from home, thinking about distractions, thinking about your home setup. That part, I think people needed more coaching and information and trial and error. So we tried to give them tools and resources, and of course they have access to their peers. Also, Slack is a great place. We have a remote channel, and I think everybody in the company, well, many people in the company ended up joining it, where people share best practices, what works for them, even down to what kind of office furniture works best at home. So some of it we had in place, some of it we had in the cupboard and put forth to the surface, and some of it came through just conversations.
Got it. So you also mentioned that during this process, there were a lot of really personal issues or things that people would go through that wouldn't allow you to put a one-size-fits-all model in place. And so whether some people are working home with their kids, which is new, especially when they don't have childcare or there's no school in place, other people are all of a sudden living at home by themselves, where before they could go out and hang out with friends and now they're just really isolated and by themselves. Other people who are around roommates, there may be people with, things that they're challenged with in regards to depression or other things. How are you able to help all of your workforce when they were dealing with so many different needs? And this is something that I've been asking every company, because there's never just a one-size-fits-all solution for the entire workforce.
Yeah, there isn't. First and foremost, there is absolutely support from the top. So our CEO has always been and continues to be very focused on your family comes first, but just communicate. So I think that is highly important, that that is the message that they're hearing, and they need to see it modeled from the top. So from our executive team to our managers, the communication was constantly listen and adapt and come to us if you need help. And it wasn't really that hard because it is already a part of our culture. But other things that we started to do, we would reach out to people that we might know are struggling or we think might be struggling. We kept in closer contact. We still do. I mean, this is not over. Close contact with multiple managers. We started doing a wellness email every week. And of all the resources that people have from a mental health perspective or other perspective. And our thought was, you know, this could be overkill every week, but people might ignore it for 3 weeks and then they'll just see it that 1 week that they need it. So that to us was really important. We also just recently, one of our VCs was able to get us, and we're going to be launching it, a fantastic subscription to one of the therapy apps so that we can offer that out to people. When people have come to us directly with issues, then of course we work through them like we would at any time in terms of having mental health issues. We'll work through the same way that we would any other time, just, you know, more urgency or a different view right now. So we're trying to be constantly aware to give people the tools that they need so that if they want to manage any issues that they have on their own, they know that they have multiple tools and resources, but also know that they can come to me, they can come to my people ops manager, they can go to their manager, and we will help them work through. One of the topics that stressed quite a few people out was the productivity issue. Am I still performing at my job even though I have to take care of, you know, a child at home or a relative at home or whatever it is. And each of those, we just work through on an individual basis. Right now, you have to take a different lens to how you view things. Of course, you still have to perform, but we also take into account that there are impacts on performance. So I think leading with empathy is really, really, really important right now on multiple levels.
Got it. One of the things you mentioned was that your CEO was really stepping up and making sure that he was communicating with your team that, you know, it's okay if productivity isn't at 100% pre-COVID, or it's just okay to put your family first and your well-being first. How did you manage communication throughout this? Was it mostly top-down from the CEO? Was it part you and the people team and CEO, did that ever trickle down from the executive team to the managers so that they could speak to their team on a more one-on-one basis? How did that work?
Well, it's all over. So first, definitely from Evan, our CEO, and he will occasionally, because we have the daily stand-up, he will take over the stand-up, which is updates to talk about whatever change is coming or whatever he needs to, whether it's family comes first. We also moved from having quarterly all hands to having monthly all hands for more frequent updates. My team sends out information and does check-ins. And we have really good managers who one-on-ones are part of our environment and our culture. So people already have the structure in place for communication. And I will say that even though we're here to coach and we do talk to our managers, the idea of an empathetic and caring approach has been embedded in our culture. So we didn't have to teach new behaviors. We just reinforced and supported the views and behaviors that were already there in terms of how each of us should be treated from the top down. So we're lucky in that way. we're able to enhance and support rather than have to change any mentality.
And to end this interview, I would love to know if there's one thing that you really learned about your role or your company during this process, or one thing that really surprised you during all of this. It would be great if you could share that.
Yeah. Can I say two things?
Oh, yeah, sure. It's your interview. Yeah.
So from within my company, the one thing is I've been really proud of our people overall and how we've come together and supported each other and how we've handled it. And there was never a question about supporting each other through it from any level in the company. So it was a moment where the culture that we've tried to continue to enhance and support and evolve really, really came through and really shone through. And outside of the company, I've been amazed, just simply amazed at how the HR community has come together to support each other and share resources and information. It's been, it's truly amazing. Just from HR leaders, well, HR people across the spectrum, VCs, for those companies that are VC funded, have some of them especially have really come through with trying to support companies and offer resources and create safe spaces to talk through, situations. So those are the two things that really stand out in this time.
Thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast guest. And I have to say, huge shout out to you, because this is your first podcast and I'm always so excited when I get to be the first. That's awesome.
Thank you, Bruce.
Of course, of course. So on behalf of all of our team at Employee Cycle and all of the people who will be listening and learning from all the advice that you shared, we hope that you, your family, and your team stay safe and healthy. And thanks so much for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day.